A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Leaving the synagogue, Jesus went to Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in the grip of a high fever, and they asked him to do something for her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and began to serve them. And at sunset, all those who had friends suffering from diseases of one kind or another brought them to him, and laying his hands on each, he cured them. Devils, too, came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he warned them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. And when daylight came, he left the house and made his way to a lonely place. The crowds went to look for him, and when they had caught up with him, they wanted to prevent him leaving them. But he answered, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns too, because that is what I was sent to do." And he continued his proclamation in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of our Lord. In Luke's Gospel, following the time Jesus spent in reflection in the wilderness, he sets out on what he has discovered about his mission. And naturally he begins in the synagogues, where more than once, we're told, he makes clear that his mission is about release from everything that enslaves people, everything that prevents people from living a full and happy life. He has come to make people free. And as we saw on Monday in the reading, some of those people held in captivity by the institutions they represented were frightened by the thought of freedom. Like the Hebrews with Moses, they felt more comfortable under a yoke they had become used to. And there were cosmic forces at work, the demons who fought against the liberating spirit that Jesus brought. Make no mistake, in this chapter 4 of Luke, a mighty battle is being waged. But in typical Luke fashion, the final act of this particular crisis occurs not in a synagogue or a bustling city center, but at the bed of an ailing woman. Jesus simply rebukes the fever that holds her in thrall, and she is healed. A word of loving gift gives new meaning to the life of Peter's mother-in-law. And in one moment, the desperate need of the ordinary people breaks out. They rush to the healing hands, the power over evil that Jesus makes available to them. Three conditions that human beings face at every age: the institutions that confine us, the deep forces that undermine our humanity, the aspects of our human condition that fail us from time to time. At every age, we must live with uncertainty, with conflicting ideologies, personal tensions that encumber us, weaken us, disturb our equanimity. We struggle at times even to recognize the body of Christ in our own church. Our own community may let us down. We despair at the brutality that is war and environmental destruction and the growing gap between rich and poor. The battle to be fought is no less now than the one that Jesus fought in the Gospel of Luke. And the battle will be won, as it was then, not by great conflagration and combat with mighty forces, but by a simple connection between two human beings in love and gift. My friend's husband is very ill. We've been praying for both of them. And the other day, she asked for special prayers prior to a serious operation. And this wife spoke of her husband like this: "He has devoted his life to truth, goodness, and beauty." I like that. It has the ring of release to it. It speaks not of the illness or the danger or the fear. It speaks of love and gift. The same sense of release that is in the words spoken by Jesus to the ailing woman in the gospel. It's not about avoiding unpleasant things like illness and suffering and injustice, the forces attendant on the human condition. It's about being freed from the oppression that these things cause. It is possible to live in poverty and pain and confinement and still be free. Bullying and misunderstanding need not defeat us. Freedom. That's the loving gift that Jesus gives, and that we too can give.